The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres speaking. With me in the studio, I have just myself, along with Kara the intern and Brian the engineer. Our very own senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, showed his seniorness and took out his back, so he will be unable to join us this week. But I do have, from Purgatory, I have Hassan Godwin on the phone. Say hi, Hassan.
It is not Purgatory. I live here. I don't live in purgatory.
You can live in purgatory.
No, I don't.
But you can.
I can.
Yes.
You can live in purgatory. That's kind of what purgatory is.
So by saying that you're not in purgatory because you live there is not a valid argument.
Okay. Go on with your spiel.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see us in the high-definition web camera, except for Hassan, because he is
in purgatory.
Yes, because he is in purgatory.
I'm in homatory.
Homatory.
Yes.
All right, so Hassan's in homatory, and unless you have that spy equipment, you can't see him in homatory.
No. Thank God.
And also, I'm aware that if you have the TuneIn app for your smartphones, you can hear us on your phones and your other multimedia devices.
Nice.
Yeah. That's
technology.
Pretty cool. Technology. Yes, technology is very cool. So,
is the show brought to you by anybody in particular, or are we done with that?
Well, we will bring up with the news, and the news is brought to you in part by the rat barristers at Belmore Towing. just in time for the summer, if you want to get the summer deals as a $70 lug nut that costs $7, you know, be sure to call them at Belmore, New York. Just be sure you tell them that it came from radio sent to you. So let's see what we have. I don't have any super sad news, so nobody died.
Oh, good.
That we are going to acknowledge, because other people have died.
We're sure people are dead.
I'm sure at least one person has died between this week and last week.
We just don't know who the heck they are, so sorry.
Just sorry we don't know who you are. That's terrible. Redbox says it plans to uninstall more than 500 of its rental kiosks this year. The move comes after Redbox saw its revenue increase by only 3% last year, having already hit saturation with over 40,000 kiosks in the U.S. alone. So basically,
the logic, of course, is that they're going to take some away.
Right, because they're not making as much money as they thought they were going to make.
It's all this terrible new trend of streaming, man.
Yeah, that's
it's going to be bad for all of us. It really is.
That's the way. I think I mentioned this like last year or something, that there was a conference I went to, a NATO National Association Theater Organization, and they were saying that the goal is to have everything beamed to wherever you're at. You know, you're in the car, you want to see something, you get it streamed right to your car.
Yeah,
wherever you are, it's going to be beamed in, which will eliminate the middleman entirely.
And First of all, the beaming technology is never good. You always end up buffering. You always end up having problems, no matter how good your online
because
it's
satellite.
What?
Okay, because it's satellite. That weather affects that sort of thing.
Exactly. And second of all, the real trick here, and people don't get this. You can't explain this to them with a ball peen hammer to the forehead. You just cannot explain this to them. You're paying for something that you don't own.
That's right.
You know, you're constantly paying. You're paying for a signal. You're not paying for anything tangible. So even in the digital age, when you can download something, it's like everyone wants everything downloaded.
Yep.
Well, at least you still have the file. You still downloaded the file.
Correct.
You can take that file and put that file anywhere. Okay, you can actually put that file on your phone. You can put the file on your computer. You can put the file in your computer, wherever
right.
you want it. But with the streaming, it doesn't belong to you. It's the same with this cloud. The
the Magic Cloud.
Yeah, Spotify and all this other junk, and everyone's like, well, I don't have to have 80 gigs worth of music on my computer. This is great. I have the extra memory. I'm like, yeah, but you're paying $10 a month to let someone else play you the music that you want.
It's like there was a comic book site that went down a couple of like last year it went down that they were paying for online comics and you got the subscription, you got to read any amount of comics you want for their company, and then the company went down and they're like, well, where's my comics? You don't get it anymore. That's it.
No.
You're done.
Gone. You know, so if the company goes out of business, all your music that the last $50,000 you paid over the course of $10 a month for 10 years or whatever.
Right.
All the music is gone.
Yep.
Not yours anymore. Surprise. You know?
Well, it wasn't
idiots. These idiots are like, well, it's all about the convenience. I like the convenience of it. I don't like the level of music on my computer because what if I lose my computer?
it's a no-win situation.
Not well. You can win if you're not an idiot.
Well,
most people are dumb.
Yeah, that's Hassan's thing. Most people are stupid. So,
yes.
So speaking of money.
It's another favorite thing I don't have.
It's a milestone for Disney's Frozen, which blew past the $400 million mark in domestic grosses. Since opening in Thanksgiving of 2013, the movie has brought in more than $1.13 billion, that's what it'd be, globally, making it the highest-grossing animated film ever, and ranks 6th on the all-time list of worldwide box office leaders. To put things in perspective, Frozen is the 6th Disney to hit the $400 million mark domestically, following Avengers at $623 million, Iron Man at $409 million, Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Man's Chest at $423 million, and Lion King at $423 million, and Toy Story at $415 million. And Frozen is the 19th movie to cross the $400 million threshold in the domestic box office. Of course, Avatar is still at number one, which
right.
made $760 million in 2009.
I still haven't seen it, huh? I still haven't seen Frozen, and I don't think I will now because the hype is too big. So I'm gonna watch it, like expecting the TV to glow and me to be made immortal from watching it through some religious experience. And when none of that happens, I'm gonna be like, "This movie stinks," and it's not really because it stinks. It's just because my expectations are so high that it can't possibly meet my expectations.
Well, look at it this way: as we've said many times on the show, just because something makes a lot of money doesn't mean it's any good.
Exactly. But I'd like to see. I want to see a $1 billion movie. I always wanted to see a $1 billion movie.
Well, it was like Spider-Man when I went to see the play. You know, I wanted to see it. It's a big bag of money, and I'm like, yep. Now I know why it's going out of business. Well, moving to Las Vegas.
As it's kept, I know why this sucks.
Yes, yes.
Because it sucks.
But people went to see it because they were curious, you know, how much it spent, and they wanted to find out.
That's true, but I mean, Avatar, in my opinion, was, you know, the visuals, at least, the visual
yes.
accomplishment of that film was worth the money.
Yes, yes.
To go see it. The story was but it wasn't a bad story.
It was just a retreaded one.
Yeah. So it wasn't that bad. It wasn't, you know, didn't even walk away from that going, I can't believe it. This is the worst movie I've ever seen.
It's called That's a formula for a reason. It's called a formula for a reason.
Exactly.
But
sometimes the formula works.
Yes, and let's see how well he does with the next two installments that he's working on.
Three. Supposedly.
No, he's doing three, a new trilogy without even counting the first
yes.
one. It's all trilogies,
yes.
but
yes.
supposed to do that.
Supposedly doing three more Avatar movies.
All right.
Yep.
Speaking of more money. 22 Jump Street pulls in the second highest R-rated comedy opening ever, behind Hangover Part 2, grossing in an estimated $60 million on the first weekend. To put things into perspective, 22 Jump Street is now the second highest R-rated comedy ever, the fifth biggest comedy opening ever, and the directors are the first time to have two $60 million weekends in the same year. They also did the Lego movie. So they are rolling in the dough right now. Mm. Not happy about that?
I'm not unhappy about it.
Although
not
I have to
really
say that
the movie, but
the,
you know,
that the Lego movie really, it fell apart at the end, and I'm surprised that
I won't even watch the Lego movie because I think that's ridiculous. It's like watching Thumb Wars, you know. It was like okay.
I remember Thumb Wars.
I'm not watching this.
he made money off of it, so
I'm sure it did. But I'm like, I can't watch Thumbs for an hour. I can't do it. And I can't watch moving Legos right now. I cannot do it. Sorry.
So speaking of cannot...
I got limits. I have limits.
Speaking of cannot do it...
Uh-oh. How'd you do it? How's that happen?
After the abrupt May 23rd exit of Edgar Wright from Marvel's Ant-Man movie, the studio has insisted that the film will be finished in time to make its July 17th, 2015 release date. For those of you who don't know, Marvel had been unhappy with his take on Ant-Man for weeks. Originally set to begin shooting June 2nd, the production had been put on hiatus while Marvel ordered revisions of the script that was co-written by Wright and Joe Cornish. According to sources, Wright had been willing to make revisions early in the process, but when the new rewrites took place without Edgar Wright's input, he received Marvel's new version during the early wake of May 19th, he walked, prompting a joint statement announcing his exit due to differences in the vision of the film. Insiders say Kevin Feige, the guy who's in charge of the Marvel production run on that end, he runs Marvel with a singulatory vision. When you take a true amateur and throw it into the mix, this is what you get. You don't want to speak up too much or have too much vision. People who have never worked there don't understand how they operate. But if you trust them, they have an amazing track record.
Wow.
Yep, so he's out because Marvel wants what Marvel wants.
I guess.
Well, you know, you
it's
make
it... It's going to be a big deal when Marvel implodes themselves.
Well, that's the thing, you know. It's always the happy story, then they get really big, and then something goes wrong, and then everybody's waiting for something to go wrong, and then it all falls apart. That's the way the story goes.
That's the way the story goes.
So we are now starting to see the implosion.
Yeah, we're all waiting for it. Like, oh, it's going to be great when it explodes, when it blows up, boom.
And yet, years ago, they're like, oh, we can't wait for them to come together and make the big bag of money, so.
Yeah, it's like lighting dynamite. Oh, it's going to be a big explosion, boom. It's going to go boom.
I'm curious to see exactly when's it going to come crashing down, because I think it's going to happen during Avengers 2 and then going to Phase 3. And I think they'll make a comeback with Avengers 3. That's what I'm seeing. Because just based on the
like Dead Man's Chest.
Yes.
Where Pirates of the Caribbean was like this amazing phenomenon where an actual pirate movie was an actual good movie. An actual
based on a ride.
Yeah. And they were like, how can that be possible? And everyone's like, you know, everybody came back from it going, no, you really got to see it. It's really an interesting movie. It's really pretty good. And then you go see it and you're like, oh, all right, I'm on board for this phenomenon. I'm ready for the ride. Let's go. And then Dead Man's Chest comes out, and I liked Dead Man's Chest, but it didn't have the great feeling of the first one, but
right.
It never does, because it's a sequel. The only sequel, in my book, that exceeded or extended the original was The Empire Strikes Back.
Aliens? Aliens?
We'll go for Aliens also, but Aliens is a complete genre change.
Right.
Because the first Alien was a horror movie, and the second Alien's kind of like an action horror movie,
right,
you know,
right.
Or whatever. But yeah, all right, we'll give them both of those. So Aliens and Empire Strikes Back. So every sequel is always a little bit of a diminishment from the first one, you know, and either the director plays it safe by doing its complete rehash of the first film in his sequel, which is what they did with The Mummy 2. I remember that vividly. I was like, this is the same movie. It's just different sequence of events, but it was the same exact movie. Or they, you know, they go on this, you know, outlandish attempt to over-elaborate the world that they've already built, which was what they did with Dead Man's Chest and also what they tried to do with the two Matrix sequels.
Right.
Trying to make it like, we're going to expand it. We're going to broaden the horizons of the world. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Look at Riddick. Riddick was an attempt to, The Chronicles of Riddick, was an attempt to expand the horizons of Pitch Black and make it a larger universe, whatever. And everybody was like, ah.
Yeah,
so, you know, the next one, the third Riddick movie, yeah, that was an actual reaction. So the third Riddick movie.
Thousands of geeks screaming out in 1 minute.
Yeah. That's how I felt at the premiere of a second Highlander movie. Wow. One day, when we have nothing to talk about that week, I'll tell you about that story.
Okay.
Saddest story ever. So, yeah, Dead Man's Chest comes out. Meh. You know, everyone's still on board, but they're kind of lackluster.
Right.
And so by your theory, the same terrible thing is going to happen with the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. So
it's such a situation because they're already starting to talk about Part 3, and Part 2 hasn't even been finished yet.
I know. They're already talking about Captain America 3 coming out to compete with Superman and Batman.
Right. So
before Captain America 2 had even hit the theater.
Exactly. You know? So it's one of those things that's really bothering me now. It's starting to bother me more and more.
It should bother you, and it should bother everybody else, because it's crap. It's all manufactured. It's all corporate. None of it's realistic, and there's no art involved into it. Nah, that's all I'm going to say about it.
So speaking about movies that are coming up.
How do you do that?
Beverly Hills Cop Part 4 is now a go. With Eddie Murphy reprising his role as Axel Foley, Brett Ratner directing it, and Jerry Bruckheimer producing.
So it's an Eddie Murphy movie, bing, bat number one. It's a Brett Ratner movie, bing, bat number two. And it's a Jerry Bruckheimer movie, bing, bat number three. It's got the trifecta. Holy crap. Who else is in it?
Well, they're still doing the casting, but we have what the executives have to say about the movie. Executives say...
here we go, executive voice.
In the update to the franchise, Axel Foley leaves his work as a Beverly Hills police detective during the coldest winter on record to navigate the new rules and old enemies in one of America's most tenacious cities. The city in question, which the majority of the film will be actually shot in, is Detroit, Michigan. So Beverly Hills Cop is going to Michigan.
Well, he was already in Detroit. He's a Detroit cop.
Right, but it was Beverly Hills Cop. But now we're going to go Beverly Hills Cop and back in Detroit. So he's no longer Beverly Hills Cop. He's just Cop.
So I guess maybe the Beverly Hills guys, if there are any, because the last one was only Judge Reinhold.
Yeah, because the other guy, he didn't want to do it no more.
Huh?
The other guy didn't want to do it no more. Like, I'm out.
And Ronnie Cox was nowhere to be found. He hasn't made a movie since, I don't know, Mr. Pogramil. Since they shot him in the second one.
Yeah. He's recovering quite nicely.
Yeah, so wow.
Yeah, he's going back to Detroit.
Wow. Really? Really?
Yeah.
What happened to Beverly Hills Cop TV show with the
son of Foley? It fell apart. It didn't get picked up, so now, I mean, obviously he got the Beverly Hills Cop bug, and so now he's going to go and do the movie.
Wow.
Let's see. Oh, the politicians have something to say about this.
Politicians?
Yeah, the politicians are saying for Detroit, Michigan. We are excited to welcome Axel Foley and the Beverly Hills Cop franchise back to Michigan. This project will highlight locations throughout the metro Detroit that speaks to the city's heritage and making significant investments in the community by hiring Michigan workers and local businesses. So they're happy that they're going to get some money.
Everybody's happy they're going to get some money. That's not like it wasn't worth you saying, but it's not, it goes without saying. Of course you guys are happy. You're going to get money out of it. I'd be happy too if someone gets, we're going to tell your neighbor, right, but I'm getting money, right? I think this is a great endeavor for my benefactors here to kill my neighbor. Because sometimes you gotta kill neighbors. And sometimes I gotta eat.
Right.
Therefore, thank you for the money.
So speaking of people making money and people losing money. 7 months after threatening to do so, Lindsay Lohan filed suit against Rockstar Games, saying that the creators of Grand Theft Auto 5 used her image and likeness without her permission. Lindsay Lohan believes that a minor in-game character named Lacey Jonas is based on her likeness. In the game, Meeting Jonas launches an optional side mission from which players must escape an aggressive gang of paparazzi. Once the photographers have been ditched, the character complains about the difficulties of fame, noting a divide between her and her parents and hinting at an anorexic lifestyle. The character has lines such as, "Can you give me a ride past them, please? I'm hardly wearing any makeup. This is a disaster. I'm so bleeping fat. How's my hair? Do I look cute?"
Whoa. Oh, boy.
Rockstar's lawyer says, noting the company does not publicly discuss legal matters.
How did anybody find out about this? That's what they're saying to themselves.
Of note, Grand Theft Auto set an entertainment industry record by earning $1 billion in sales 3 days after its release. So she wants a part of that B.
Yeah. Well, who wouldn't? I want part of it. I'm going to find a reason to sue.
You want to see your likeness has been used as one of people get beat
My
up?
My likeness is all over the place, man. I am a famous human being. I just got to figure out who's using it and who's got the money.
I'm going to go with Lawrence Fishburne.
What?
Your likeness has been used by Lawrence Fishburne. I think if there was somebody to play you in the movie, it would be Lawrence Fishburne. I think he resembles you, so Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne?
Yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne's like 30 years older than me.
he'll play future you. Maybe he is future you.
Kind of an info.
He's using your likeness. Well, I mean, the guy who looks like me is Peter Rieger from Animal House, and he's way older.
I was at my graduation party. At my high school graduation. So maybe he came to see me
graduate.
He came to see himself graduate.
Just to make sure it happened. It's Bill and Ted right there. That's Bill and Ted Part 4. Lawrence Fishburne goes back in time to make sure he graduates from high school.
All right, I don't have this conversation anymore.
All right, so finally, last bit of news. Speaking of paparazzi, after his arrest last Thursday night, my arch nemesis, Shia LaBeouf, has checked into a, quote-unquote, celebrity-frequented treatment facility in Hollywood.
I know about this.
The paparazzi says, "We followed the actor from his Hollywood Hills home just an hour ago to a private facility where other stars have sought treatment, driven by someone believed to be from the rehab facility. When the car arrived at the gate to drive Shia to the center, a nurse and security guard were there to greet Shia." So the paparazzi have notated that he's going to the celebrity-frequented treatment facility in Hollywood.
Wow. What a bunch of jerks. Because, but yeah, That couldn't possibly be a private moment for anybody, right?
Nope. They had to follow him from his house and watch him go
into
the rehab facility. That's not really a rehab facility. It's a celebrity-frequented treatment facility.
He's been having a bad time.
Yeah, he's not even in the Transformers movie. That's how bad it is.
He's losing his mind.
And he didn't call anybody Hitler either. He's just not in the movie.
Yeah, but he also slipped out, like, at an airport or something like that.
Yes, he did. He's going downhill, and that's where I'm happy that he's at, because he's my archenemy.
Don't be happy for someone else's demise, because it will lead to yours. It always does. Nobody ever listens to that.
Well, I told you that my last thought in life will be Hassan is right. So when they all come to get me, like,
I don't want you to be right about that, though.
Like, I guess Hassan was right after all. And then, and that's it. That's how it's gonna go.
Look at all the people who got knocked around for publicly, like Opie and Anthony, the Anthony guys.
Yeah.
For publicly lose his mind. And Gary Oldman just lost his mind recently. It's just like, don't do it publicly. Don't be talking about Shia publicly. When we're on a break,
I've said it many times that on my tombstone in the front, it's going to say, "Here lies Mark Torres. He wanted to live forever or die trying. We saw how that worked out." But on the back, it's going to say, "Hassan was right."
You're like, who the hell is this Hassan guy?
So we are ready for our break. We'll be right back with King Fun Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
Megatron must be stopped, no matter the cost.
You got the touch. You got the power.
One shall stand, one shall fall. Why throw away your life so recklessly? That's a question you should ask yourself, Megatron.
No! I'll crush you with my bare hands!
I've got to help Prime!
Stay away, lad! That's Prime's fight! Your optics!
You got the power!
Finish him off, Prime! Do it now! No more, Optimus Prime! Grant me mercy, I beg of you!
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And there we go. And we are back with it. Came from the radio. This is your host, Mari Torres, speaking.
You're just like ripped right out of the soundtrack.
That's why,
right,
she's
the movie soundtrack.
That's why she's still the intern, folks. Yes, that was from the Transformers, the movie. I figured it'd be fitting since we're going to be talking about the Transformers Part 4, the Michael Bay movie this week. As always, this is a free-flowing conversation, so spoilers may and probably will be mentioned.
The only time there's going to be a spoiler mention is if you mention it, because I will tell you what I told the world last time during Transformers Part 3.
You weren't going to see it?
Yep.
And
I'm not going to download it. I'm not going to see it on cable. I'm not going to see it by accident. I'm not going to see any of it. I have been told by other people who loved the three previous movies,
right,
that this movie was bad.
I think we mentioned it last week that this, globally speaking in the internet, has been panned as one of, if not the worst Michael Bay movies ever. However, it is one of his highest grossing movies ever. So what does that tell you? I mean, it's an amazing thing that it's so bad is what people say on the internet, yet it's making so much money. So I'm gonna go back to what I said, I think like months ago. I told you he must be doing something right.
He's not doing anything right.
He's making the money hand over fist.
You see what he's doing. Same thing with he's doing with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and whatever that other movie that he's making that's coming out. He's just co-opting childhood movies. He's taking a kiddie genre. The whole reason that those movies are making billions of dollars is parents are taking their kids to see it. And everybody knows better.
But they could have taken him to see something else. I mean, Legends of Oz.
No, there's nothing else. There's really nothing else out there now. There's no kids movies out there right now.
How to Train Your Dragon 2, Legends of Oz, which made no money. No money at all, Legends of Oz. And I thought that was a pretty good sequel for a kids movie. People could have went to take
this
to that.
They got a cartoon on Saturdays and Sundays. People like, oh, we're over it.
This
movie had Dinobots in it, didn't it? Woo-hoo.
Yes.
Dinobots. They were robots in disguise as big metal dinosaurs.
Yes, because you can't differentiate them between any other metal dinosaurs.
Yeah, the other giant metal dinosaurs running around.
So let's put things into perspective. We know you and I both are Transformers fans. Love the movie. The original
Generation
movie.
One.
The original movie.
Strictly Generation One for me.
I liked the Beast Wars, and I thought it was pretty good.
I didn't like the Beast Wars too much.
And it was it started off kind of lackluster, the Beast Wars, but then it really turned into a really good companion series to the show.
Yep, fair enough.
But they had the movie, which was awesome. In my opinion, because of my age and the time and the factors all that brought together, that movie was one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. At the time, was Transformers the movie, which was a clip.
Transformers the movie is nearly, and especially compared to the Michael Bay movies, is virtually flawless.
compared to the Michael Bay, yes.
As an entertainment vehicle, it is virtually flawless to the supposed contemporary follow-ups that just really haven't managed to.
Because the Transformers movie, it had a series, and taking a series to a TV to a movie is a big deal, and they upped the game. Because you can't have a series, and then like is the same thing you see in the series as you do on TV. Like, well, why am I paying money for something I can see on TV? But they brought it up. They increased the they put the emotion into it. They killed off Optimus Prime.
Killed off a bunch more people in Optimus Prime.
Yes, they killed off a lot of them.
High profile kill.
But the way that they killed them off, they just like, you know, you have to imagine a theater full of screaming kids, a theater full of screaming kids. And then they're all silent when the character dies. That's an amazing thing to do. Yep. So with all that, going into
the
first...
I thought the My Little Ponies movie was going to be like really devastating, but it didn't turn out.
The My Little Pony.
They did. It made My Little Ponies, but they made a Care Bears movie.
They did. They made like five Care Bear movies. They made like five Care Bear movies.
I thought they were going to kill off Care Bears. I was like, oh, when you go see a movie, they up the ante.
Killing the Care Bears.
They were going to kill Megan off, at least. I thought they were going to kill off Megan. Nope.
Killing off the Care Bears. That's a completely different movie.
In fact, Duke was supposed to die in the G.I. Joe movie.
In the G.I. Joe movie, yeah.
Because of backlash from killing Optimus Prime, everybody lost their mind.
Yes.
They put Duke in a coma.
They kind of neutered themselves after doing that. But then Michael Bay comes out, and I didn't like it, you didn't like it. And I'm sitting there watching the original movie, the Michael Bay movie, and it had my geek moments because they brought stuff onto the screen that I hadn't seen in years. They used lines from that clip I just played in the Michael Bay movie. So I was kind of, you know, geeking out, like, oh, my God, they did that. Oh, my God, they did that. Oh, my God, they had the original Prime voice in it. It was great. But other than that, I was like, this is a really bad movie, except for Megan Fox. So the movie was really bad. And then
the
sequel.
All I can think of is I hope they don't make three more of these.
The sequel... I remember our conversation, like, it can't be any worse than the first movie. And the sequel came along, like, oh my God, it's so much worse. It took whatever good things was in the first one, and it took it away, and it gave us more crap. And then, after that, we're like, all right.
The dictator had testicles.
Yes. Then we're like, the third movie can't possibly be worse than the second movie, because the second movie was so, and then it was. It was just so bad. I'm like, this is terrible. So now, I'm like, all right, now they're going to make a fourth one, which can't possibly be worse than the other three.
Wait. How could you say that? How could you get to four? How could you get to four and go, well, they got to level out? How could you get that far? You know what? When I got hit with my first needle when I was a kid at the doctor's office, I didn't need to get to four to realize I don't like getting stuck with needles. You know? When you have your first piece of black licorice, you don't get to four before you go, this is not really what Twizzlers is like. You know, this is pretty horrible. So I don't know why your logic is, oh, by the fourth one, things will get better.
There's a joke about relationships. They say that going back with your ex is like taking milk out of a refrigerator, drinking, goes, this milk is sour, let me put it back in the refrigerator to see if it's good tomorrow. So that's kind of the same thing.
But the
fourth one, the bar was so low. It was so low that when I watched it, I'm like, it wasn't as bad as the other two. It was somewhere between part one and part two.
It's the X-Men theory, X-Men logic, that the bar was so low for X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yet, and it's like, I'm watching, I'm like, this is a bad movie. Like, in no way, shape, or form, this is not a bad movie, but I'm so numb from the other three, and the fact that Michael Bay forgot that he made three other Transformers movies, because he makes stuff in the movie, not only is it inconsistent with other stuff in the actual movie, but it's inconsistent with stuff with the previous three movies that came out. He's like, it makes no kind of sense. It just, in the movie...
I hate to ask,
yeah.
But like what?
Something that we hit upon many times. That the Transformers are supposed to be susceptible to cold. In the first movie, they made a whole big thing about shooting Bumblebee with fire extinguishers, which was taking him out by the humans, right?
Well, that's what happened to Megatron.
He was frozen.
He got stuck in an ice storm.
Right. And he was taken out.
Yes.
In this movie...
10,000 years. 10,000 years he was on Earth.
Right. In this movie, they kind of forgot about that. And Prime is in outer space. he's flying around in outer space. I'm like, on his own.
That's true, but they forgot about that even in the first one because the Transformers had come from outer space.
Exactly. So there's inconsistencies in the movie itself, and then it's inconsistency throughout the whole entire franchise. So then Prime has a jetpack in this movie that he only uses at the end of the movie. And we're like, wait, if he could fly this whole time, why did he spend a majority of part three looking for his trailer, which gave him the ability to fly? I'm like,
so he doesn't have his trailer in this.
No, he does not have this trailer.
Is he the flat nosed truck in the third one?
He goes into hiding as the flat nosed truck because people will recognize him as the other truck.
Wow.
So he's a robot in disguise, being in disguise.
Are there other Autobots in the film?
Yes, there are other Autobots.
They're all in hiding.
Because now the humans have part of the humans, like the bad good guys.
Bad humans.
Yes.
Bad American humans.
They're all going and hunting down Transformers. All of them, good or evil. Well, of course, the president only thinks that they're being hunted, the evil ones. But they're hunting them down, and they're using them for parts of whatever the story
is.
Here's
a simple question.
Yes?
What are the Autobots doing about the fact that they're being hunted by the humans?
Dying and hiding out.
Right. So they're on a planet full of creatures that want to kill them.
Right.
So their logic is, I'll just sit here as this truck.
Yeah.
Indefinitely.
Yep.
Until all this blows over.
Yep, pretty much. They're just hiding out, and yeah.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Yeah, it's
explains a lot.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't. And the introduction of the Dinobots, as you mentioned, everybody knew that they were gonna have Grimlock, which is the main Dinobot, but they had the other Dinobots. So I was like, ooh, other Dinobots. So that little kid in me was excited to see that on screen for about 5 minutes. Other than that, I was like, all right, the introduction of the Dinobots made no sense, the execution of the Dinobots made no sense, and the resolution of the Dinobots made no sense. So basically, Michael Bay did this. He said, what would look cool? And I'm gonna stretch it out to 2 hours, 38 minutes, and 10 seconds. And that's all it was stuff that he made look cool throughout the entire movie. Nothing was connected at all. Nothing made any kind of sense. It just was just overall an awful movie to watch. But it looked really nice. It was very pretty. The visuals were amazing. You know,
I can't even watch his movies anymore because he keeps moving the camera.
Yes, there was not...
There's no static shot ever.
Because,
you know...
This is like,
And it makes me think I'm schizophrenic. You know, it really makes me feel like I'm having a psychotic episode.
In the 90s, I remember when Image Comics came out, and people were complaining about Todd McFarlane, who was drawing Spawn at the time, and they were saying how he could not draw two people just standing still talking to each other. There always had to be something going on. Even in the slightest panels, something had to be happening, so it's just a static two people talking shot. And
right.
It's kind of like what's going on here. It's like everything is just moving, always flashing, always something going on. Even when stuff is supposed to be like a nice, calm, just talk between two people, it's just not happening. It's just all over the place. But it was very visually interesting. You know, like the special effects have gotten to a point where it's very believable that you can see a giant robot throwing around the humans. It was very well. I have to give him credit for that. It looked really nice.
Light and Magic credit for that. You don't give him credit. You don't give Michael Bay credit for
that. We'll give Industrial Light. The special effects department did a great job in the special effects. Although, which is weird, there's one scene where the main characters are high above the skyline, and they're on some ropes, and that looked fake to me. I'm sitting there thinking, that looks like a set. Like, out of everything, the one thing they couldn't do is
have... like, you draw the line, all this other terribleness is happening around you, and you're like, hey, these guys only let their climbing this rope.
Well, I mean, it appeared as if they're being tossed around in midair, being flying around in ships, which looked flawless, yet the one part when they're having the close-ups of them on some ropes and they're dangling, however many million in the air, it's like, it looked kind of fake. I'm like, in this movie, why does that look fake? They dropped the ball on that in one scene. I'm sitting there like, that seems kind of out of place. That seems kind of fake. But, I mean, it was... there's one part where the humans and the Transformers are having a big fight, which, for no rhyme or reason, because there's three different parties. There's the Autobots, the Decepticons, and then there's these other guys, these other robots that are coming in and having an introduction. So there's one part where all three of them are converging on all each other, and the third party has no interest in the human aspect, but he's, for some reason, going after them. And the humans that are hunting down Transformers are running around with Kelsey Grammer as the guy in charge, and they're fighting in China. And for some reason, it's like they're having teleportation machines, because the humans are always popping up wherever they need to pop up at. It's like there's no way he can get from point A to point B in the amount of time that they're showing in the movie, but there he is.
And they don't explain it in the movie.
No, because
there's
he's
no explanation.
Yeah, he just happens to be on the rooftop. He just happens to be on the street floor.
Like Man of Steel, how Lois Lane just happened to find Superman.
Yes, exactly. It's just there. And that's what like the entire movie is. Like, all right, we need him to fight somebody here. There he is. We need this to happen over here. There he is.
I think what's happening is that they're realizing that the audience is a bunch of derfs. And they're going to go see anything that's big and flashy and doesn't remind them of mortgages and not having a job or anything else. And they don't really have to put any effort into these stories anymore, as is evident by how bad you're saying that this film is, and yet it's the highest grossing Michael Bay movie of all time.
Yeah.
So why should he bother? I actually don't blame him. I would make one of the worst movies I've ever made. And then Ninja Turtles is going to be another fiasco. That's probably going to make a bajillion dollars.
I think it's going to be the curiosity factor, but I don't think it's going to make as much as the Transformers. Just
probably not, but it'll be justifiable to make 10 more.
Yeah.
Ninja Turtles movies.
They'll make a Raphael movie and a Donatello movie.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Usagi Yojimbo. Why not?
Yes, yes, that's right. Yeah. Casey Jones has his own little movie.
Yeah, why not? Me too.
Me too. That's what it's going to be called. Me
what?
Too. That's the sequel.
Yeah, me
too.
Me too. It's going to be called Me Too, Me Too, Me Too.
And then this movie sets up for another sequel.
Of course it does.
Because he already said he wants to make three, another trilogy. I have to give credit for...
He was supposed to hand the franchise over to someone else.
Right. But they waved enough money in front of his face, and he's like, I'll come back. Mark Wahlberg, if you want to make a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon connection, he did sing The Touch when he was in Boogie Nights.
No, I know he did. You're not making that. All right.
I'm just saying, if you want to make that connection. But,
no. I heard from people who hate Shia LaBeouf, but they missed him. Wahlberg was.
I did not. I thought Mark Wahlberg was. Well,
of course you did. What a surprise.
I thought Mark Wahlberg was a better Shia LaBeouf than Shia LaBeouf was. Out of everybody, his character was barely passable.
He had 2 seconds on the screen in that trailer. I think we found a Transformer, and I was already disgusted with him. So, and I haven't seen the movie at all, and I won't see it.
And his relationship with the other two human characters, with the daughter, was like, didn't even make any sense. The third other male, once again, he was just thrown in there because she needed someone to Google over, who's not Mark Wahlberg, because Mark Wahlberg is too old to be Googling after a 19-year-old actress playing a 17-year-old girl in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
And the weird thing is, the girl, supposedly the eye candy of the movie, I lost something on that because it has the Maggie Grace syndrome, which is, Maggie Grace was a child actress on the series The Nanny, and she went and she grew up, and she was in this movie called The Collection, and in the movie she was naked, and I was like, oh my god, I can't believe, I can't appreciate her being naked because I saw her as a child actress, so it kind of ruined it for me. So this girl in this movie was the same girl who was in The Last Airbender movie. So oh, that's really? All I kept on seeing was a 14-year-old girl trying to be a 17-year-old girl.
What is this other girl from The Nanny?
Maggie Grace. She was the youngest. Yeah. So I was like, all right, this is it's just not good for me. And my friend who was watching The Collection was like,
wait, what movie was Maggie Grace naked in?
The Collection. It was a sequel to The Collector. It was actually a pretty good movie franchise, The Collector to The Collection. And you can go check it out. Actually, you should go see that instead of seeing a Transformers movie.
Yeah, I think I will.
It was just,
I'll
it
do
was
that
just,
right now.
It was just weird seeing that. And so I couldn't appreciate the girl at all. So that element was gone. There was no story, so I couldn't. That's gone. There was nothing for me to enjoy except for having Peter Cullen as Prime, and they brought back Frank Welker as the new bad guy, Galvatron. So I was like, all right, but you really couldn't even.
Galvatron was not Megatron.
Yes, Galvatron is Megatron in this version also. Which, you know, alright, fine. They tried to keep it sort of in context, but...
And they bring back Frank Welker.
To do Galvatron, who wasn't good enough to play Megatron.
Right.
Yeah.
Now he's good enough to be the main bad guy.
But technically, he wasn't even the main bad guy. The main guy was, the third...
Elfie Grammer.
No, the third robot guy. Because there was three, like I said, it was the Autobot Decepticons and then the third bounty hunter guy.
Oh, boy.
So the bounty hunter was the main villain. And another problem is that Prime gets beat up a lot in this movie, and he gets repaired on his own without any help at all. So, you know, he's hiding out.
Yeah, he dies in
the third one.
The second one.
The second one, right. He died in the second one. They had to go get the spark and whatever.
The Matrix. Yeah. They use the Matrix.
Yes, but in this one, they once again, he is very inconsistent. He got, at one point, there's a giant sword in him, and he's like, oh, I'm all hurt, I can't do anything, I'm hurt. And then they take the sword out, and he's like, I'm better now. Like, wait a minute.
Imagine that.
You can't do that.
That's what happens to normal people when they get stabbed. Oh, take it out.
There were three separate sections of this movie where Prime gets the crap kicked out of him, is all hurt, and then, because the story needed him to get better, he got better. There was no other excuse for it. Like, oh, he's better now. Like, he just got blown up over there. Nah, he's fine. He walked it off.
Nah, he's fine. He's all right.
So
he's perfectly fine. He's okay.
And, of course, the MacGuffin, as we like to say, whatever they were chasing after, didn't make any sense either.
Oh.
So it was, but, and like I think, because, like I said, because the bar was so low, and I was so numb of all the other three movies, I'm like, all right, this kind of falls between part one and part two, as in quality.
Oh, you see, that's the thing. It's like, why well, were you
it's like
there?
You put your hand there, and you got the hammer, and you hit your hand with the hammer. It's not going to hurt as much as the other times.
You're only in Markland, and you're like, oh, I got to compare strikes with the hammer. No, you don't. You're like, ow, that hurt. I never want to do that again.
So it's
never.
Like, well, it's like, you know, you get hit, and you're like, ow, and then you're like, and then the third one, I'm like, oh, well, this didn't hurt as much as I thought it was going to be.
No, Mark, as I just said, normal people don't do that. Normal people are like, ooh, I got hit. Avoid getting hit again.
Well, normal people obviously go to the movies again because, if you remember, people hated, and the internet hated number three. And yet,
those are parents and their kids. That's the only excuse I'll give it. That's the only logical explanation for it.
It's the parents and the kids. That's
yes.
The best you can do.
Yes. Yes.
I work at a movie theater. I see the people going in. It's not all kids and parents.
And morons.
I'm just kids and parents and morons.
That's the only logical explanation.
Kids, parents, and morons. So,
I figured it out. I mean, why do you laugh?
Because that's funny. Because the image in my mind of the banner underneath the movie for the poster, kids, bring your parents and your morons that are literally in the basement.
Your parents and your morons. And full price.
Yeah, so
no discount prices. And pay double for three dimensions.
Seeing the movie in 3D, I'm a fan of 3D. Besides the fact that I don't have to pay for movies, so let's put that out there. So it doesn't matter if I see it in 3D and 2D. And I've seen 3D movies in 2D and whatever. I think the visuals was ILM, as you mentioned. They did a great job. So if you're going to go and waste time seeing this movie, at least see it in 3D, you can appreciate it.
There's no way on God's green earth.
No way.
If you held a gun to my head, I'd be like, pull the trigger.
But it won't hurt. It won't hurt after the fifth bullet.
What?
It won't hurt after the fifth bullet.
Yes, it won't hurt after the fifth bullet. I won't stop thinking about it after the first one.
So I suspect that
the fifth bullet will be completely inconsequential to me.
Exactly. So when you get shot, you get shot in the head. Oh, that hurts. And then you get shot some more, and like, oh, all right, I'm numb now, and I'm dead. So it doesn't hurt after you get shot like 80 or 90 times. See?
Wow. Really? Really? We're doing this? Really? Okay.
See?
All right. Okay. I'm looking forward to the Planet of the Apes. That's all I'll give it. I'm hoping that that's going to at least live up to some kind of level of expectation. I had no hope. I had no hope for Days of Future Past. I had no hope for the Transformers. And I'm glad that I managed not to see at least one of them. I ended up going to see Days of Future Past. I forget why. And I thought it was just as horrible as the others.
Which actually reminds me of something. I was actually, when we talked about Days of Future Past, it was a point I wanted to make, but we ran out of time. So I'll take this, 3 minutes to make this point. I compare it to an issue of a comic book series when the writer comes in and he acknowledges that it's an X-Men franchise comic, but he doesn't go into details of the other issues. So that's why the inconsistencies really doesn't matter, because it's a completely different story. I'll use it to when Walt Simonson came in on the Fantastic Four. He came in, he did a whole arc about a new Doctor Doom and everything, and then the guy after that just kind of like, it really didn't happen, just kept on going. That doesn't make it a bad book because they don't acknowledge
that
the previous stuff.
Mark.
I'm just saying, in the comic book world, that's how they do it. That's how they do it. And this is a comic book movie.
That won't work for Days of Future Past, though, because they go through painstaking efforts to let you see that he has turned the world back to the way it was before. If it's non-canon or outside of canon from the other films, then why is everything exactly the way it was before they changed the past? Before they change the future. This is what I'm saying. It's the same as it being First Class being a reboot, yet Rebecca Romijn is in it and Hugh Jackman is in it. It's like, well, wait a minute. It's not a reboot now.
It's kind of an amalgam. That's what it is.
Yeah,
it's kind
so
of an
they're
amalgam.
Morons. They don't know what they're doing. Morons.
So those are people making the movies. They're making moron movies for morons.
Yes, Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, morons. All right.
So I'm guessing I convinced you thoroughly that you didn't miss out on anything and that to not go see this movie.
You have thoroughly convinced me. Although I was already convinced, you have reinforced my convincedness.
Okay. Do you have a final thought for us?
Final thought is don't go see it, ever. Don't see any of them. Stop seeing them. Stop.
All right. My final thought is go see The Collector and The Collection. And go get it on DVD.
Naked.
Not because she's naked, because it was a good series. It was a good movie and a good sequel to the movie, which expanded on the universe, and I thought it was pretty good. So go see that. So go look it up on Netflix or whatever else. Streaming, go stream it. Collector and Collection, which is the sequel. And once again, do not go see Transformers movie. If you're, for some reason, a moron, a parent, or a child, which Hassan says the only people that go see that movie, then go at least see it in 3D, because...
But if you are a moron thinking about going to see a movie and you decide not to, you are suddenly not a moron. Look, you have evolved. You've become something better.
So from us, I came from radio, be something better, don't be a moron, go see something else. So that about does it for this week on It Came From The Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com, and listen to the archives, which will be up in a week or so. Check us out on the Facebook page and Twitter page and the Instagram page, and we will see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.